الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. ما بعد، patience, O people of Syria. The Sheikh began his khutbah by stating that that the life prospers and the lands are maintained under the umbrella of justice and equality. And Allah Azza wa Jal has created the human beings in a state of being predisposed to love justice and the people of justice, and to hate oppression and the people of oppression. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the messengers with justice and with the scales, as in to establish the equality or the scales amongst the people, the justice among the people. Our religion has particularly been a source of taking the people out from the oppression of the various ideologies of the world into the justice which is found in Islam. And Allah Azza wa Jal commanded His creation in the Quran by saying, "Verily Allah commands justice and excellence." The same way there's no success with oppression, there's also no continuity for the oppressor. And there's no stability for the transgressor, even if the time is prolonged. And no matter how bad his affair gets, Allah Azza wa Jal says, "And do not presume that Allah is unaware of what the wrongdoers are doing." Don't think that Allah doesn't know when the zalim is committing dhulm. Allah knows all that. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam further said, in fortifying this idea, that verily Allah will give some time, some respite to the oppressor, until when He takes him, He shall not let him go. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala said, "Verily Allah will help in the maintenance of a just nation, even if it's a disbelieving nation, and He will not help in the maintenance or the stability of an oppressing nation, even if it's a Muslim nation." Yani, the justice of Allah entails that He aids those who are just. So if the Muslims are committing wrongdoing, they will deprive of themselves of the assistance of Allah. Tamkeen fil ard, giving them stability and authority on earth. O slaves of Allah, we have been living in recent times until today a very bitter fact, which is what is going on to our brothers in Syria, the blessed land of Syria, the land of honor and dignity, the wounded Syria, where a group of the rejectionists and the batiniyah, those who believe they are subliminal and kind of secretive interpretation of the texts, that's one understanding of it. People that believe there's something that is apparent, which is for everybody, and something which is particular to the elite among them, making the religion seem complicated, and it's more like, you know, what you will find in other religions, not what you find in Islam. Nusayriya, and they're named after a particular individual, that's where they got the term from. The Sheikh didn't mention it in the khutbah. Who have been taking control, or have been controlling the lands of Sham these days. And before we elaborate, he said, on this issue, it is only suitable or appropriate that we know who these groups are and where did they come from. First, the group which is in charge or running or controlling Syria is basically Al-Ba'athiyun. Al-Ba'athiyun is a cult, a nationalist, secular cult. Okay? So they're more concerned with nationalism, Arabs, that's what they care about, the Arabs, as we will see. And they're also secular. And you know, secular is the idea of keeping religion on the side. Whether they believe in it or not, it doesn't matter. Religion does not get involved in the government and does not get involved in the lives of people, which is what many people are calling for today. In other words, saying that the hukum of Allah is not suitable. We need the hukum of human beings for human beings. أفحكم الجاهلية يبغون. That's what Allah said. So do they seek the hukum of the jahiliyyah, the days of ignorance? And who is better than Allah in judgment for people who understand, for people who have certainty? Certainly they don't have any certainty. So that's what they are. They are now, they're there in the Sham trying to distort the minds of people and turning the area or the region into a communist region. Their slogan is, a single Arab nation with an eternal message. A single Arab nation with an eternal message. And basically that message is the message of their cult. The message of their cult. As for their goals, it is unity, freedom, and communism. Unity, not based on the deen, unity of everyone who shouldn't be united. And freedom, freedom to disbelieve, freedom to reject, freedom to criticize the Prophet ﷺ, freedom to reject Islam, freedom to kill the Muslims. That's what they mean by freedom. Not the praiseworthy freedom. And communism, and you all know who the communists are and what their agenda is. So there's no, and according to them, there's no place for religion in this whole equation, nor for a creator, nor for an object of worship. It's just not part of the formula. Similarly, the Nusayriyun, which is another cult that appeared in the 3rd century after Hijrah. The 3rd generation or century after Hijrah. And now the scholars categorize them under the extremists among the Shia. Now you know the Shia and the Rafida, sometimes these terms are used interchangeably as in meaning the same thing, and there's some slight variation. But nevertheless, the Shia in essence have different groups among them. Some are extreme, some are moderate. Some barely remain within the margins of Islam, and most of them have left Islam a long time ago. Even though they may wear Islamic robe and grow a beard and come on the minbar and say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah wa ashhadu anna Aliyan waliyullah. That's the addition that they have, which is not part of our deen. Even though they may proclaim statements of that appear Islamic, even though they are actually involved, according to the people, in some sort of warfare with the non-Muslims, in fact, they are with them, not with us. So don't believe, for example, that Hezbollah is really fighting the Jews in southern Lebanon. This group of Shia, the Twelvites, the Ja'farites, they came from the Shia, from the Jews. The one who started it is Abdullah ibn Sabah, the Yahudi. Al-Munafiq, he was a hypocrite, a Jewish hypocrite. Islam was so strong, couldn't defeat it, couldn't defeat Islam as an outside force. So he joined the ranks of Muslims, and then he created this cult within Islam, and then in the name of Islam, they destroy Islam from within. Those are the children of those ancestors. So to believe that they're really fighting each other is a joke. You know, they can put on some good acts. They are cousins at the end of the day, and they love each other dearly. But of course, the whole concept of Shi'ism is a front. They have an essence and a front. The front is made to deceive you. The front is made to fool you. Oh yeah, I'm with you. But behind closed doors, amongst each other, this is where all the real stuff comes out. So there's a very delicate... Not right now, akhi. Anyone who blocks someone in Jama'at al-Khair, we said this is haram. You can't come get ajr while you're stopping a Muslim from attaining to his needs. So barakallah fiqh, whoever has a sunny car, please move it so we will not be distracted once again. So they lie. It's halal in their deen to lie to us Ahlul Sunnah. So you have to be careful who you're dealing with. You have to know, I mean, if you're really interested in knowing more, there's a lecture on YouTube titled Wolves in Sheep's Clothing. In fact, before the lecture was delivered, you were invited. I don't know if you remember. Wolves in Sheep's Clothing. Just type that in YouTube, watch the lecture, and find out who these people really are. Ala kulli hal. So they are among the extremists of the Shia, whom the scholars categorize as non-Muslims. who believe that Allah incarnated in Ali. Yani Allah became Ali became the physical existence and the physical manifestation of Allah. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ The Christians may not agree on this in regards to Jesus. Some of them believe that, some of them don't. These ones, it's khalas. And furthermore, their objective is to ruin Islam. Ruin Islam slowly but surely. And you will find them historically, always and forever, on the side of the non-Muslims against the Muslims. As happened many times in history. Now, the French colonists had given them the name Alawiyun. Because that sounds more digestible. You know, Alawi in reference to Ali. Muslims love Ali. So we say these people who just happen to love Ali a little more than they're supposed to. Yani, as in love him to the extent that he should be instead of Abu Bakr and Umar. That name is made to deceive us. That name actually is not befitting for them. Because if they were really following Ali, then they would acknowledge Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Aisha and all that. But they're not really Alawis. There's something else. They were given that name just to kind of, you know, play a trick. And the truth is that they are rejectionists. And they are extremes who have left Islam and couldn't care less about its true meanings and teachings. And Ahl Sunnah, as I said, or the Sheikh said, they declare them as those who have abandoned Islam completely. They do not pray Jumu'ah. They do not pray Jumu'ah. They do not believe in purification. And they have all kinds of rituals that are very much like those of the Christians. They don't acknowledge Hajj, nor the zakah that you're supposed to pay. And furthermore, it is permissible in their religion to have incest or incestual relationship. Yani, it is okay for a man to marry his sister or to have relations with her, wal'iyadhu billah. That's what the Shaykh mentioned, wallahu musta'an. Now those Nusayriya, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said about them many years ago, around 700 maybe more or less, he said these are greater in disbelief than the Jews and the Christians. They are more disbelievers than the Jews and the Christians. And they are always with the enemies of Islam. And then the Tatar only had access to the land of the Muslims with the assistance and the facilitation provided to them by the Nusayriya. So they actually aid the kuffar against the people and the people of Sunnah. And the Shaykh said the history repeats itself. And now in the land of Sham, these, you know, group of wicked creatures have taken over that particular location. And they have been subduing the people to oppression, humiliation, terrorism, and fear. Furthermore, they treat the people like they are the masters and everybody is their slave. Transgression and oppression and belittlement and fighting against the Sharia of Allah and the slaves of Allah. So you find people over there in a state of poverty, in a state of need, and a state of humiliation. And their objective, those people, is to set aside and to curb the deen of Allah and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they imprison the scholars and the innocent people and they torture them. While they give access and stability to the people of the Shia and give them the ability to maintain themselves and to be protected by them. And Allah Azza wa Jal said, and those who wrong themselves shall know what outcome they will have to deal with. And so to Allah we complain, and there's no will and power except the one provided by Allah. And Allah is our protector and He is sufficient for us. Those treacherous creatures have not shot a single bullet for the last 40 years against Israel. Not even one bullet came out from there. However, they are emptying their machine guns and their weaponry and their bombs against the innocent and the among the people of the Sunnah in Syria. And they surround them in their cities and their villages right in front of everybody. You've seen the YouTube videos. You must have seen the YouTube videos by now. It's just crazy the way they kill people while everybody's silent for whatever reason. Thus far, from the beginning of this revolution, I guess, until now, they have killed around 6,000 people. 6,000 people have died just so that this low life can remain on a seat. And the same thing, his father who came before him, he was on the same manhaj, and he did the same thing. And the history will not forget the slaughtering of the people which happened in Hama, where more than 30,000 people were killed. And over 90 masajid were destroyed, demolished, 90. Similarly, the history shall not forget the slaughter of the people in Halab, the first and the second time. Among their crimes is that they do not leave a woman who is wearing hijab, they do not leave her alone, and they do not leave a religious scholar, except that they shall arrest him and torture him. They closed all the Islamic institutes, and they tried to put an end to anything which has to do with knowledge in the country, which has made many among the scholars of Syria migrate elsewhere so they can live and survive. And I've met some of them in my life. Similarly, they have raped women right before their husbands and their fathers. The young girls before their fathers and women before their husbands. This is besides executing and killing the people who ask for the Sharia to be the governing force in the society. O believers, there's, I guess you can call it the Organization of Muslim Scholars, if we can call it that, I guess, has presented the following proclamation. It says, in regards to what's happening in Syria, Allah says, and if you aid the deen, if the Muslims who are needy, if they seek your assistance, then it is upon you to aid them. This community or this organization of Muslim scholars rejects what is happening of spilling of the blood and preventing the freedom of the people and the manner in which they are treating those who are involved in these revolutions or these protests. And they're dealing with them in such an aggressive manner which has never been seen before. So it has come up with the following statements. Number one, this nizam, this ruling force, has brought together three evils. The evil of the Nusayriya, the evil of the Ba'athiyya, which we discussed earlier, and the evil of the Ishtirakiyya, communism, and all, each one of them, it nullifies Islam. Each one of them is against Islam. Secondly, what is happening in terms of the spilling of the blood of the innocent, this is another crime which will be added to their very and many crimes of the past. Thirdly, killing the people and subduing them is a very dangerous path to travel upon, which will bring about the punishment of Allah and His curse. Now listen to this ayah. I'm sure you've read it before, but it's good to remind the brothers of the ayah in Surah An-Nisa, one of the most, the scariest ayat in the Quran. Allah says, whosoever kills a believer intentionally, whoever kills a believer, one, intentionally, five things. Allah promised that person five things that you will not find in the Quran elsewhere. You will not find five things promised as a punishment in the Quran elsewhere. Except that. Allah, first, jazahu jahannam. His abode will be the hellfire. وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ, and Allah's wrath shall be upon that person who kills a single individual, a single believer. وَلَعَنَهُ, and Allah will curse him. So Jahannam, the anger and wrath of Allah, the curse of Allah. وَأَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا, and Allah has prepared for that person a great punishment. How many is that? Four or five? Sorry. Jahannam, four. Sorry, four. Four things. Each one of them is sufficient to make you think a million times before you kill a single Muslim. Jahannam, the wrath of Allah, the la'na of Allah, and a very painful punishment for one believer. So what about the one who kills 2, 3, 4, 5, 100, 100, 1,000, 6,000? Yeah. Fourthly, the fact that the people have the right to rectify their country and to have the religious freedom which they are seeking. It is something that Islam endorses. And rather, all nations of the world allows people to, is supposed to, they're allowed to allow the people to have their freedom of religion. Fifthly, it is an obligation upon the ummah to aid the weak among the Muslims. And it's upon the people of knowledge and the people who try to spread righteousness among the people to fulfill their obligations. in providing leadership to the ummah and giving them the path upon which they are supposed to travel. Similarly, for those who are unable to aid in other means, then it is expected of them to make dua for them, and that Allah Azza wa Jal grants them patience and firmness, and that Allah alleviates their difficulty and calamity, and that Allah Azza wa Jal gives victory against those who want evil to them or for them. And he said, the Shaykh went on to say, and there's a statement of truth which we must say in regards to this particular country, where the minister or the prime minister has said in a meeting amongst other Arab nations, he declared that the Saudi shall withdraw the agents who are supposed to be part of that group that are observing what's happening in Syria. Yani they've made a group of observers from different Arab countries and different Muslim countries, I guess, so they can monitor the situation in Syria and see what is happening. It has decided to withdraw the people based on the fact that we cannot witness falsehood. Yani we cannot, and it is not right to see this kind of falsehood taking place while we are just observers. So subsequently they will withdraw them because of the crimes and the spilling of blood. Furthermore, he criticized the army, the Syrian army, for killing its own people. And he asked rhetorically, is there a nation in the world, isn't it the duty of the army to protect the citizens, to protect the civilians and their property, and to provide them with security instead of killing them? The Shaykh said, may Allah bless this country for this stance, this strength, because many people seem just to be quiet, kind of let it slide. They don't really want to say something which may cause conflicts with Syria eventually. Political game is a very filthy game. Very filthy game. And people wind up doing what they're not supposed to do or leaving what they're supposed to do because of political consequences. They don't want to get into situations so they will conflict with other countries. And so he was hoping that other countries will follow the footsteps as means of disproving what the Syrian regime is doing and subsequently create something that will actually halt their progress. And the last page, and hang in there guys, we're almost finished inshallah. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned in a hadith which the Shaykh quoted, there isn't a ruler who is in charge of Muslims, yet he does not exert himself for their sake, nor does he provide them with sincere advice, except that he shall not enter paradise with them. Anyone who does not exert himself for their correctness and for their well-being, if he doesn't make that effort, then he shall not enter Jannah. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, whomsoever Allah gives authority over the matter of Muslims or the affairs of Muslims, then he hides himself, or he separates himself, or he segregates himself from their need. He puts many bodyguards, and people don't have access to him. They don't have access to complain, to have their issues resolved, except that Allah Azza wa Jal shall place a similar barrier between him accordingly. And then he quoted another hadith where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, it is sufficient as a sin for a person to withhold spending on those whom he is who is responsible for. The Shaykh said, this land of Muslims has been suffering for tens of years now of these oppressive regimes and rulers. They have wronged the people in regards to their wealth and their rights. They have violated their dignity. They have tortured them, lashed them, imprisoned them, and they did not deal with them justly. And this is all something which you can see happening in Syria now. All this while everybody seems to be silent. Syria has been led by this oppressive regime for 40 years. Dealing with the people in a very wrongful and oppressive manner, in various cities of the country. However, this country is a country of strength. It's a country of courage, and it's a country that shall remain. because it is an area which is blessed, because it's around the Masjid al-Aqsa الذي باركنا حوله. Allah Azza wa Jal made that area around there blessed. And there are many ahadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam where he said, Allahumma barik lana fi shamina. Oh Allah, bless the Sham for us. It's a blessed land at the end of the day, and this is something that we need to internalize. And this honor shall come back. Shall come back towards the end of time. We're going through some challenges now, but it will come back at the end of time. And he said to the people of Syria, remember that verily you are suffering like they are suffering. Yani you Muslims are suffering, and the kuffar are suffering as well. Don't think you're the only one suffering. They cannot really have a peace of mind with the situation now. But at the end Allah says, وَتَرْجُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَرْجُونَ. But you hope to get from Allah what they do not hope for. So this is the iman is what keeps the believers moving. This land of Syria, no matter what they try to do, it will remain the root of Islam. And history bears witness to that. He said the upcoming days are pregnant. It's an interesting term he used. They are pregnant. Yani it's bringing with it some, the upcoming days will bring with them some news, some things that will happen. And so he was giving glad tidings to the people in Syria that, you know, be patient. Soon the situation will change. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned in regards to this area and the sacredness of this area in a hadith that a fire shall come about on before the day of judgment from the ocean of Hadramaut in Yemen. And it will actually gather the people. It will gather the people. People will try to run away from it. So the Sahaba asked the Prophet ﷺ, where shall we go? He said, upon you is Sham. Upon you is the land of Sham. At the end of time, people will run away from the Jazeera, from the peninsula, from the Gulf region, and they will run to Sham for protection per the instructions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Furthermore, you know that Isa alayhi salatu salam will come in Syria, particularly in Damascus, particularly in the at the minaret over there. This is where he will descend and he will kill the Masih al-Dajjal, and the Muslim armies will gather with Jesus, the son of Mary, with Isa alayhi salam over there. So it is actually a place where the Muslims will be granted victory over the disbelievers at the end of time. So all this is promised, which means no matter what happens, they cannot possibly kill Islam. They cannot. It shall remain, and the victory will be ours at the end of the day. And he said at the end, he addressed the regime, the Syrian disbelieving regime. He said, I give you tidings of your soon departure. I give you glad tidings of your soon. Well, they're not really glad, but it's being used here sarcastically. Like Abshir, and you really, this Bishara is supposed to be something that makes you happy and smile. But so it's used sarcastically to make fun of them. It's like, welcome to prison. Are you welcome in prison? I mean, do you feel welcome in prison, or is that a place where you want to be? No, but you're trying to psychologically hurt the person. Welcome to prison. You will never leave again. So this is the same idea. I give you glad tidings of your departure, of your destruction, your very soon destruction, inshallah. Why? Because you have not learned your lesson from others. I mean, you saw what happened to the others. You have not learned your lesson. And furthermore, their crime is even greater than others. So he said, why do we believe that? Because al-jaza'u min jins al-amal. The result, the recompense is according to the deed, the nature of the deed. If you do good, hal jaza'u al-ihsani illa al-ihsan. If you do ihsan, you will get ihsan. If you do zulm, then you will get your share of that. Not from Allah, but you will get your share of punishment, which is not zulm, but justice in your regard. So with that, inshallah, he said, victory is coming to the Muslims and to the land of Syria, bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal. And that was that. In regards to the khutbah translation, me and our brother Sahir, Zallah Khairan, we will be kind of doing this together. Particularly because I'll be traveling, inshallah, in the upcoming weeks, perhaps more than once, not being around. And so we decided, Zallah Khair, out of his kindness, instead of leaving the people unattended, that we will share this particular privilege of doing the khutbah translation, so that you brothers will know what has been discussed during the khutbah, because it's very important that you understand what was being discussed. And so, inshallah, may Allah reward him with goodness, Allah khairan, for him taking the initiative to do so. And so I'm just giving you a heads up in regards to the future, so you will know what's going on. So, Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.